Theresa May has said she will change human rights laws if they get in the way of tackling terror suspects. And that includes restricting the freedom and movements of terror suspects when there's not enough evidence to prosecute them. Labour was critical, saying ministers must stand up for democratic values, while the Lib Dems said Theresa May's plan would not improve safety. So how far should human rights be set aside when the state is dealing with terrorists? Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International with us today. Morning, Patrick.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the commentator, Charlie Wolfe. Charlie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, Patrick, taking away human rights, if they get in the way, my goodness, that's of tackling terror suspects. This is a provocative statement from the Prime Minister, but one that is maybe necessary given what's happened, Patrick, in London and Manchester.
The Prime Minister's statement's not only provocative, as you put it, it's actually reckless and it's very badly misinformed. It's putting forward this idea that you somehow diminish national security because of human rights and you'll improve national security if you do away with human rights. And that's an utterly false and misleading choice. Human rights and the rule of law are supposed to be the very values we are trying to defend and promote in this sort of battle of ideas against those who would attack us. And to set those very values aside seems to be defeatist in the extreme. And instead, I think we should be building our strategy to bolster national security on the very foundation stone of human rights, the sense that we are a community that can unite against this, that we have shared values, and that we will not give in to the threats and the attacks from those with a very different set of values. Just yesterday, Dominic Grieve, the former Attorney General under the Conservative, the Cameron government, he actually rejected this idea that May is putting forward. He said that human rights are actually the best long-term guarantee of national security, and I think that he is utterly right, and that the lessons from Northern Ireland as well as other places around the world would tell you that.
Yeah, the right to liberty is a fundamental human right, Charlie Wolfe, isn't it? Unless you have been proven to be guilty in front of a jury of your peers or a judge, or at least during due process. Are we
really going to consider taking that away, Charlie? In general theory, I couldn't disagree with anything Patrick said. However, he talks about shared values. These people don't share our values. You know, there's an expression that goes, the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, is not a suicide pact. And I can tell you there are three world leaders in our history that are revered, you know, some on the left: Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, and Franklin D. Roosevelt, who all put human rights aside, especially habeas corpus, in the fight against Lincoln, the Civil War, and FDR and Churchill in the World War II. For instance, it was Roosevelt that interred the Japanese. Now, in hindsight, I don't think that was the best move, but he had to do what he thought was right at the time, because this is above and beyond, you know, our daily civil society. These are people that are attacking the very core of our being. And, if, you know, they're going to stand behind the Constitution or human rights law in order to kill human rights for
But Charlie, when you take someone's freedom away and the state does that in the name of protecting us against terrorism, for how long is it acceptable? If you try to start stretching this, is it acceptable to take someone's freedom away without evidence for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, for 10 years?
Well, from what I'm reading, I think she wants to go to 28 days, back to 28 days as far as terrorism is concerned.
28 days, not a long time without evidence?
Well, they sometimes need to find the evidence. You know, we're in a situation that is outside the realms of what we're used to. This is outside the realms of civil society. You know, human rights law, constitutions, etc., can only work in what are known as moral societies. And we're dealing with something that is well outside that. This isn't even back. You know, you can't even use, for instance, the Troubles as an example. You know, at least in the Troubles, there was some sort of an end game, whether you agreed with it or not. There was an end game.
Patrick,
here you have people
back in the early 70s, there were these sort of false prophets of national security as well, who advanced that if only we locked up a few thousand terror suspects, that we'd solve the problem. And instead, it exacerbated the problem. It alienated a whole community from the state, who viewed state had set aside their values, their understanding of justice, their understanding of innocent until proven guilty. And it actually, if anything, was probably the biggest recruiting sergeant for the paramilitaries at that time, and was utterly counterproductive. And I really do fear, if Theresa May is suggesting we go down that road again. In both the two recent attacks in England, there have been very clear reports that members of the Muslim community came forward to the authorities with information about the people who turned out to be the attackers. I would worry that that well of goodwill and cooperation would dry up if the Muslim community found itself feeling that it was now a suspect community in the eyes of the authorities. And I think that would be counterproductive. And instead, we should focus on perhaps the proper police resources to follow up on these leads that are being given by the community, rather than counterproductive measures that are now being put forward as a quick fix to a really difficult and ultimately a long-term problem that this society and other societies have to face.
Okay, Charlie?
I think there's a difference between what Patrick was referring to with the Troubles, because back in the Troubles, you could be supportive of what the IRA stood for, if not the IRA and their methods. So I could see how that would be counterproductive. But I don't think the Muslim community supports what these jihadists are doing. And I think they're a threat to the Muslim community as much as they are to the rest of us. So I don't think this would be the recruiting sergeant that we think it is. And again, we have to do, you know, what is required, and to give the police the help they need in battling this, because it is a different threat, and it is a threat to our society in toto.
And if some of those people locked up are the wrong people, well, they're just collateral damage, Charlie, are they?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think that we, you know, for instance, there are people that have been known. I was watching an interview last night on Sky with our friend Mohammed Shafiq, talking about people like Chowdhury, etc., who have been stirring trouble for years. And they've been standing behind, using human rights as a crutch, as a tool.
Okay. Patrick, final word to you.
Well, just, I suppose, final word in a way is that really internationally, Amnesty International sees that often in sort of times of insecurity, those particular moments are often used by governments as an opportunity to roll back hard-won and much-valued human rights protections. We should not be going down that road. Instead, we should be looking at what mistakes have been made, why leads weren't followed up, were police resources adequately in place, and answering those questions before we set aside stuff like the right to be presumed innocent.
We've got to leave it there, Patrick.
The right to a fair trial.
Thank you very much. Charlie, thank you.